Welcome to Glory Light Chapel, the radio ministry of Glory Light Live. I'd like to welcome everyone sitting in this room and also those of you who may be tuned in through internet radio from wherever you may be sitting on the face of this planet. It is our privilege that you are here, and it is our prayer that you will receive a blessing from our message today. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. We pray that you will send your angels to worship with us and to drive away the evil one. We pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to prepare us to receive the blessings you have made ready for us and to guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome to our midweek service. It is 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday, May 13th, 2026, Central Daylight Time, and we are glad that you are here. You can participate in this meeting. If you have any questions or comments, you can text this number, that's 615-974-1182. That number again is 615-972-974-1182. Let me say it again, 615-974-1182. And we may be able to respond even during our meeting. I'll give you that number one more time, 615-974-1182. Well, we've been studying the book Lessons on Faith by A.T. Jones and E.J. Wagoner, and it's a series of articles written for, I think, the different magazines, the Review and Herald and different ones. Each one is written by one of these two authors and some by both. In my book, it is on page 34, and other books are at least similar paging, but maybe different. I'm starting on the article that is dated February 21, 1899 by A.T. Jones, and that is right after the end of the article of February 14, 1899. And so maybe you can find it in your book from there. But we're going to be starting at the beginning of that article. And so let's go ahead and begin. Elder A.T. Jones has this to say: faith is complete dependence upon the Word of God only, for the accomplishment of what that word says. That's worth repeating. Let's say it again. Faith is complete dependence upon the Word of God only, for the accomplishment of what that word says. That means that God's Word is sufficient and immediate. It doesn't need our help. It doesn't need us to provide anything for it, except all He asks us to do is to simply say thank you. Thank you for the gift. And if we appreciate what He's giving us through His Word, which, by the way, His Word has inherent within it the power to create what He says when He's saying it, if we will appreciate that, then we will begin to see that work happen in our daily lives, in our experience. When we appreciate His Word, then we're giving Jesus permission to dwell in us and do His work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not that He is in us personally. The Holy Spirit is doing the work, but He's doing Christ's work, and Christ is directing Him in that process. All right, so that was the first sentence. Then he says, this being so, it must never for a moment be forgotten that where there is no Word of God, there cannot be any faith. There is shown in the truth. This is shown also in the truth that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Since faith thus comes indeed by the very Word of God itself, it is perfectly plain that where there is no Word of God, there can be no faith. Also, that means that nothing can happen. This is beautifully illustrated by an instance in the life of David. Because David had it in his heart to build a house unto the Lord spoke to him by the prophet Nathan, saying, the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, thy throne shall be established forever. Then David prayed and said, Now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O David of O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. 2 Samuel 7:11-29. His prayer was altogether of faith, because it was altogether the word of God. The word of God was the cause of it. The word of God was the basis of it. And the word of God was all the hope of David that the prayer would ever be answered. He asked according to the will of God, because the will of God was expressed in the word of God. Having asked according to the plainly stated will of God, David knew that his prayer was heard. Now let's pause here for just a minute. When we ask God for something, if he has already told us that he wants to do it, if it's written in the Bible, in the scriptures, that this is what he wants to do, you can ask him for that knowing that he either has already provided it or will provide it in the future. And it is a done deal. You can count on it being true at some point. That is, it's true when he says it, but it may not happen in our experience until he says that it's time to happen. So let me read this again. If he asked according to the will of God, because the will of God was expressed in the word of God, having asked according to the plainly stated will of God, David knew that his prayer was heard. And knowing that his prayer was heard, David knew that he had the petition which he desired of him. 1 John 5:14. Therefore he said, So let it be. And therefore also the answer to that prayer was, and is, and forevermore shall be sure unto David. And this was written for our learning, that we might know how to pray in faith, and how in prayer to cultivate faith. Therefore, go and do thou likewise, because the knowledge of what the Scripture means when urging upon us the necessity of cultivating faith is more essential than any other knowledge that can be acquired. Let's just backtrack just a little bit. We know that God has given us forgiveness of sin. God has already forgiven your sin. And when he was dying on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that includes you and me and everybody in the human race whose sin has put Christ on the cross. He has already forgiven us. So we can know that when we ask the Lord for forgiveness of sin, that he is going to do that. And he has already done it. And he will do that in our experience. That we know we'll have an answer for it. Now, if we ask the Lord for $1 million, that may or may not happen, and he may know better than you do whether $1 million would be a good thing for you. It might not be. And so, so he that you need and the things that he has promised you to that you can have, you can know that you will receive it when you ask him. So when you ask him for forgiveness of sin, you can go away from that prayer knowing that you have been forgiven. All right, that was the end of Review and Herald, February 21, 1899. The next one was dated February 28, 1899, and we're going to begin with that one. And this also is an article by A.T. Jones. And he says this, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's a quote from Romans 10:10, I think. 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's Romans 10:17. Therefore, the word of God is the only means of faith. Therefore, where there is no word of God, there cannot be any faith. And where the word of God is, faith is entire dependence upon that word for the accomplishment of what that word says. Let me read that sentence again. And where the word of God is, faith is entire dependence upon that word for the accomplishment of what that word says. Now, people have a lot of ideas of what it means to, you know, what is our part in that we play in our own salvation. And we, you know, people talk about different things. You know, we need to climb that mountain, and we need to be good, and we need to, ask for forgiveness and all of that thing. But and some of that is good, but especially the asking for forgiveness part. But there is nothing that we can do. There's no mountain we can climb or any such thing. There is no good thing that we can do, period, let alone to do in order to secure our salvation. But there is one thing that is our part in our salvation. And if you have the book Christ's Object Lessons by Ellen G. White, on page 61, she has this statement. And that is that our part in salvation is yielding to the Word of God, yielding to the power of His Word. And that's what Elder Jones is saying here. And let's see, starting about the fourth line down, and where the Word of God is, faith is entire dependence upon that word for the accomplishment of what that word says. From all this, which is the truth, it is perfectly plain that in order for anyone to ask in faith, he must first of all be sure that he has the word of God for what he asks. Having the word of God for what he asks, he, like David, can find it in his heart to pray with perfect confidence, which is only in perfect faith. So that goes along with what I was saying earlier. If we're asking what we already know God wants for us, we can know we have it. Then he says, he who thus prays knows that he is asking according to the will of God, for he knows that he has the plain word of God for it. Therefore, he knows that God hears him. And knowing that God hears him, he knows that he has the thing for which he asked, because the whole basis of his hope for it is the word which has spoken it, and which is the sole basis of his asking. Well, Hebrews 11 has something interesting to say in verse 1. So let's go to our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 and look what verse 1 says, talking about asking in faith, believing, and knowing that if we're asking according to God's will, that we have it at some point. That we have it, or we will have it in our experience at some point. Now, chapter 11, verse 1 of Hebrews says this: now faith is the substance of things hoped for or expected. It is the substance of it. Faith is the substance of it. And so what that means is that God promises us something, and we say, thank you, Lord, and we believe it. We can know that we have it in substance, and it will come into our experience at the right time. So that's what it means when it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So God says, I have forgiveness for you, and then when you believe His word, then you have faith in His word, and you have the substance of His promise at that point. And then when we believe God's word, then we can know that Jesus will be dwelling in us and doing His work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, going on, it says, and we're back in our book, the Lord tells us thus to pray, and thus He has made provision for the steady, strong, and continuous growth of faith. Many people pray but do not know whether it is the will of the Lord that they should have what they pray for. Like if you're asking for $1 million, you'd be in that position, right? and so do not know whether they can certainly claim it. And not knowing whether they can claim it, they are all at sea as to whether their prayers are answered or not. So they're just kind of floating around, not knowing where they are or what they're doing or where they're going. Let me read that again. Many people pray but do not know whether it is the will of the Lord that they should have what they pray for, and so do not know whether they can certainly claim it. And not knowing whether they can claim it, they are all at sea as to whether their prayers are answered or not. An example of this would be, Lord, asking for forgiveness of sin. You have promised to make a Christian out of me. I don't know how in the world you're going to make a Christian out of me, but you have promised to do so. Therefore, I claim your promise, and I hold you to your word. And you can know that God is making a Christian out of you. And it takes time. There are different things that he needs to change in your life. And there are things that deep down inside and we all have it. Every one of us has this corruption that's in the fallen, sinful human flesh. But we don't know how corrupt it is down in there. And so the Lord doesn't show us all of it all at once, or we couldn't handle it. So he gives it to us a little at a time. And he says, brother, sister, there's something in your life that I want to take away because it's going to take you down. Let me have it. And when we say yes to the Lord for that, then that is done. He will answer that prayer and take that away. But then he works on the next thing and the next thing. And the next thing, and he keeps doing that with you until he finally gets to the last thing. It's not infinite. And when he gets to the last thing and you give that to him and you say, Lord, I'd rather have you than this thing that you want to take away from me, then we are ready to be sealed for the kingdom. And so that's the way the Lord works. And so when he's making a Christian out of you or out of me, he works at it a little at a time, and only as fast as we can take it. And if he says, there's something in your life I want to take away, and you say, I don't know, I kind of like having that. And so he doesn't get mad at you. He never gets mad at you. He never condemns you. What he does is that he's a gentleman. He will go away, and then he will come back, and he will ask you the same question, maybe even from a different perspective, until you finally give that to him, and he can go on to the next thing. That's the progress of Christian development. That's the way the Lord works. And so when we say, Lord, I claim your promise that you will make a Christian out of me, then he will begin that process in you, and you will find yourself becoming more and more and more like him. So keep your eyes upon Jesus, and you will become more like him. All right. Then it says here, the Lord does not want anybody to move uncertainly. Therefore, he has given his word, which thoroughly furnishes everyone unto good works, and by which we are given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So what he's talking about here is then when we ask God to give us his righteousness, you know he's going to answer that prayer yes. And it's going to take time, and he will work with you time and time again and over again until he gets you where he wants you to be. All right, so backing up, it says, the Lord does not want anybody to move uncertainly. Therefore, he has given his word, which thoroughly furnishes everyone unto all good works, and by which are given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. If anyone who seeks in the word of God the things which God has provided for all, and then and upon that specific word prays for the thing, thus asking according to the plainly expressed will of God, knows that his prayer is heard and that he has the thing for which he prayed. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of confidence in your life? Asking God for forgiveness of sin and cleansing from unrighteousness, that he might give you his righteousness. Wouldn't you want to know that you are solidly on solid ground here with the Lord's word happening in your life, and you can count on it. You can claim it. You can hold him accountable for his word, and you can get up knowing that the Lord will take care of you on this day. We get up and we have our daily devotionals and we give ourselves to him. Then and we ask him to be with us through the day, you know he's going to want to do that. You know that all day long he's going to be with you. And you can talk to him like he's right there with you, and you can say, Lord, look at that. Isn't that nice? Or what's going on there, Father? Is there anything you want me to do about that? And you can have that kind of relationship with the Lord. All right. I mean, back up again. Anyone who seeks in the Word of God the things which God has there provided for all, and upon that specific words prays for that thing, thus asking according to the plainly expressed will of God, knows that his prayer is heard, and that he has the thing for which he prayed. So doing, the prayers will always be certain. The life will be filled with the direct gifts of God, and the faith will be sure and strong, and will be ever increasing in strength. Oh, what a promise. Many pray the prayer of the disciples, Lord, increase our faith. This is well, yet along with this, it must never be forgotten that faith comes only by the Word of God. Therefore, as certainly as your faith shall be increased, it can be only by there being in you an increase of the Word of God. And the only way that there can be in you an increase of the Word of God is by your hearkening, that is, paying close attention to that Word. Praying to the Lord for the thing which that Word says, depending wholly upon that Word, and I could add the word only here, on that Word only for that thing, and thanking Him that you have received it. Even though you don't know it yet, you can't see it yet, you don't experience it yet, but you know you have it because God has promised it. Praying to the Lord for the thing which that word says, depending wholly upon that word for that thing, and thanking him that you have received it. Then and thus the word is received by you and lives in you. Well, let's just back up a little bit. About the two-thirds of the way down in the paragraph, it says this, and the only way that there can be in you an increase of the Word of God is by your hearkening to that Word. Well, hearken is an interesting word. It means to pay close attention to God's Word. Well, the word obey, he could have used the word obey here. The word obey in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the original word in the Hebrew or the Greek, means to pay close attention, to hearken, if you will. And if we're paying close attention to God's Word, guess what? That Word is creating. We're paying close attention to it. We're allowing God to create in our lives the things that He wants to have us to have. So, the only way that there can be in you an increase of the Word of God is by your hearkening, paying close attention, obeying, if you will, that Word. Praying to the Lord for the thing which that word says, depending wholly upon that word, only, if you will, for the thing, and thanking him that you have received it. And thus that word is received by you and lives in you. Thus, while we can pray, Lord, increase our faith, at the same time we must remember that we are to build up ourselves in our most holy faith. Jude 20. So we can know that we will be receiving more of the Word of God. This is how to exercise faith. Faith can be exercised only on the Word of God and by the Word of God. For where there is no Word of God, there cannot be any faith. And understanding how to exercise faith, this is the science of the gospel. And that ends the article of February 28, 1899. The next article is also by A.T. Jones, and it's dated March 7, 1899. And it says in this article, the just shall live by faith. And he's quoting from Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. I wrote that note in there. It's probably not in your book. And then he says, who are the just? They are only those who are of faith, because men are justified to be made righteous, is what that means, only by faith. Now, on the word just, the word just means right. And if you're an editor, you know what to justify means. Right justify means that on the page, the page lines up. The end of the words all lined up on one line at the end of the page. My book is written that way. To left justify means the same thing. All the words line up on the left side of the page. That's what just means. Now, in religious circles, to be right, it means to be right with God. And the only way that you can be right with God is to have His righteousness. And so, to justify means to make right or to make righteous. So when God justifies somebody, He makes him right, He makes him righteous, and He gives him God's own righteousness. So that's the lesson on the word just. So he asks, who are the just? They are only those who are of faith, because men are justified, made righteous, only by faith. For though we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, yet we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. For to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, if we work for our righteousness, then we can claim that God owes us something for what we've done. We've earned it, if you will, but we have no righteousness with which to earn anything. So it says, to him which worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So if you go to work and you do a good day's work and you get paid and you go home, then that's debt. He's paying off a debt that he owes you because of the work that you did. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's from Romans 4, verses 4 and 5. So if we're not trying in our own strength to do what God wants to do in us himself, if we're not trying to do that, then we are getting out of God's way and we are allowing him to do what he wants to do. Let me read it again. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Well, who's counting this? God would be doing the counting, right? Well, when God counts something, what happens? When he says something, what happens? When he speaks it, it happens. It comes into existence. So if God counts something, in the very act of counting it, he has created it. So if our faith is counted for righteousness, guess what? We have, in very fact, the righteousness of God because he's counted it. Let me read that again. But to him that worketh not, well, in other words, getting out of God's way, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, and we are all ungodly, so if we think we're godly, this doesn't apply to us. It only applies to those who know they're ungodly. But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, and you can know that you have it if he counts it in you. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are of faith and those alone are the just in the earth, those who are right. Now, faith is entire dependence upon the word, on the word of God. On and upon is the same word, basically, but I like upon, it's a little more active, but it's on here. Now, faith is entire dependence on the word of God, that word shall accomplish what that word says. It shall accomplish that which I please, Isaiah 55:11. That's God saying that. To be justified by faith, then, is to be justified by entire dependence upon the word of God. The just are those who are of the word of God. This is how men become just or right or righteous. And then it says, men must not only become just by faith, by dependence upon the word of God, but being just, we must live by faith. The just man lives in precisely the same way and by precisely the same thing that he becomes just. So the only way that we can become just is by faith. So it says men must not only become just by faith, but by dependence upon the word of God, But being just, we must live by faith. In other words, we now believe God's word. And as long as we continue believing God's word, then his righteousness will come into our lives, and people will begin to see that in our experience. So that's the only way we can do it. We must live by faith. The just man lives in precisely the same way and by precisely the same thing that he becomes just, simply by saying thank you to the Lord. And our lives then become a lives of continual thankfulness to God. That's how it is that we must live by faith, by living continually in thankfulness for God, or to God, for what he has given us. Going on, it says, we become just by faith. Faith is entire dependence upon the word of God. We, being just, must live by precisely the same thing by which we became just, that is, by entire dependence upon the word of God. And this is exactly what Jesus said, man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When Jesus said that, it is particularly plain that he simply said, in other words, man shall live by faith. There is no other way truly to live than by faith, which is simply living by the word of God. Without faith, without the word of God, men only die. Indeed, without the word of God, everything only dies. For in the beginning, everything came by the word of God. The word of God was the origin and life of everything, for he spake and it was. Let me read that again. Indeed, without the word of God, everything only dies. For in the beginning, everything came by the word of God. The word of God is in the origin and life of everything, for he spake and it was. All things animate and inanimate, sun, moon, stars, animals, men, are entirely dependent upon the word of God for existence. Only in the case of men, God has bestowed upon them the wondrous gift of choice as to whether they will do so or not. This gift opens the door of faith. And when a man does choose to live by the word of God, which is the only means of life, faith, entire dependence upon the word of God, is the means by which he lays hold on the means of life. Thus, the just shall live by faith. And thus, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, which is simply to say the just must live by the word of God, and whatsoever is not of the word of God is sin. We cannot have a healthy Christian experience. We cannot obey the gospel, that is, pay close attention. Remember what the word obey means. We can not only obey the gospel unto salvation until the science of faith is better understood and until more faith is exercised. Hast thou faith? Have faith in God. Here are they that keep the faith of Jesus. Now the word keep there in the original language means to watch, to guard, or to cherish. And which one of those meanings you use will depend on the context of the word. And so, we don't need to guard the faith of Jesus. We don't need to watch the faith of Jesus. But it would be good to cherish that, wouldn't it? So let me read it that way. Hast thou faith? Have faith in God. Here are they that cherish the faith of Jesus. And notice that is Christ's faith, not faith in Jesus, not our faith in Jesus. That doesn't save us. That's not saving faith. That simply puts us into connection with him so that he can dwell in us and do his work in us. That's how faith saves us, and by allowing us to connect to Jesus. But the faith of Jesus is the faith that Christ had in the Father. That's the faith that held him on the cross when he was dying there. Faith of Jesus, that Jesus had faith in the Father. Well, that ends the article of March 7, 1899. The next one is a week later, March 14, 1899, and we'll begin that right after that. And again, this is a passage by A.T. Jones. It says, the righteousness of God is revealed to faith. And we say all the way to faith, Romans 1:17. Faith is complete dependence upon the Word of God, expecting that Word to do what that Word says. Is there then righteousness spoken by the Word of God? So that people can depend completely on that Word, that the Word shall accomplish what that Word says? There is. Indeed, that is the very object of the gift of Christ. For him God hath set forth to declare. Now, declaring is speaking, right? That's God's word. He's creating when he's declaring. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, Romans 3:25. Seeing then that God hath set forth Christ expressly to declare, to speak the righteousness of God, it is certain that the word of God has been spoken, upon which there can be complete dependence, expecting that word to do what that word says. In other words, there is righteousness that can be received by faith. Wherein is this word spoken? It is spoken in the word forgiveness. Somebody asked me a little while ago how it is that my wife and I can be married more than 55 years. What is the secret? And I said, lots of forgiveness. And that is the truth. And he acknowledged that. So here we go. Forgiveness. Let's talk about that. Let's back up a little. Wherein is this word spoken? It is spoken in the word forgiveness. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. There is forgiveness with thee. Now, what is the meaning of forgive? The word forgive is composed of for and give, which otherwise is give for. To forgive, therefore, is simply to give for the Lord to forgive sin is to give for sin. But what does the Lord give for sin? He declares his righteousness for the remission of sins. Therefore, when the Lord forgives, gives for sin, he gives righteousness for sin. Now, let's just look at this transaction. This is a transaction here. We're talking about giving for, giving something in exchange for something else. So let's look at it from that perspective. Therefore, when the Lord forgives, he gives for sin. He gives righteousness for sin. So he is giving you his righteousness. In exchange, he just wants your sin. Now, wait a minute. Is that a good transaction? Yes. For us, it's a wonderful transaction. It's like God is giving to me or to you the whole universe, and he's taking away from me or from you all the bad things and evil things that we have that are hurting us. So he takes away and takes for himself all of the things that are bothering us and hurting us and our sin, and giving us in exchange his righteousness. Who would not want to do that? Let's think about this for a minute. What does this transaction mean, and why would anyone ever say no to that? All right, backing up, it says, therefore, when the Lord forgives, gives for sin, he gives righteousness for sin. And the only righteousness that the Lord has is his own. It follows that the only righteousness that God gives or can give for sin is the righteousness of God. This is the righteousness of God as a gift. All men have only sinned, and if they are ever clear, must have forgiveness entirely free. And as the forgiveness of sin, the righteousness of God given for sin is entirely free. This is the righteousness of God as a free gift upon all men unto justification of life, that is, to be made righteous in the life. That's Romans 5:18. Every soul, therefore, who ever asks God for forgiveness of sin, in that very thing asks God to give him righteousness in exchange for sin. Righteousness for sin in exchange for sin. Every soul who asks God for forgiveness asks it solely upon the Word of God, which speaks forgiveness. And faith is entire dependence upon the word for what the word speaks. And faith is entire dependence upon the word for what the word speaks. Thus, righteousness is altogether of faith. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. You have asked the Lord many a time to forgive your sins. That is, you have asked him to give for you your sin. But when you ask the Lord to give for your sin, and that you ask him to give the only thing that he does or can give for sin, which is righteousness, that is what it is to ask forgiveness of the Lord. And he does forgive. He does give for your sins when you ask him. He says he does, and he does. He is faithful, that is, he will never fail, and just to forgive our sins. And the only thing that gives for sin is for sins is his righteousness. The only thing that he gives for sins is his righteousness. And why not thank him for the righteousness that he freely gives for your sins when you ask him to? That's all he asks of you. Just say thank you. And if you say thank you, you're expressing appreciation for the gift that he has given. And when you express appreciation for the gift that he has given, you have now given him permission to come in with that gift that he's given you in title and make it part of your experience, a part of your possession. So it says, then why not thank him for the righteousness that he freely gives for your sins when you ask him to? Do you not see that righteousness by faith is just as plain and simple as the asking God for forgiveness of sin? Indeed, it is just that. And now, dear friend, when you do ask God for forgiveness of sin, you don't have to have any question about whether he's going to do that or not. You know he's already done it just by your asking, and even before your asking, he's already done it. When he was dying on the cross, as I said earlier, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I will have to admit, when he was dying on the cross, I knew nothing about it. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't know anything. And so he forgave your sin on the cross, and he forgives your sin when you ask for it, and you don't have to have any hesitation about believing that. All right, backing up a little, do you not see that righteousness by faith is just as plain and simple as the asking of God for forgiveness of sin? Indeed, it is just that. To believe that righteousness is given you for your sin, when you ask forgiveness and thankfully to receive that righteousness as a gift of God, this is what it is to exercise faith. Now, God can promise something, and he can promise his righteousness, but we don't receive that is into our experience, until we say thank you. Until we say thank you for the gift. So let me read that again. To believe his word, that's what we're talking about. To believe that righteousness is given for your sin. Given you for your sin. To believe that righteousness is given you for your sin, when you ask forgiveness and thankfully to receive that righteousness as the gift of God, this is what it is to exercise faith. Yet, how true it is that we suffer much trouble and grief because of our unbelief and our ignorance of how to exercise faith. Hast thou faith? Have faith, have the faith of God. Here are they that keep the faith of Jesus. Here are they who cherish the faith of Jesus, which is given to you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father in heaven, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. Thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son Jesus. Thank you for the gift of his righteousness, your righteousness. in exchange for our sin. Oh, Father, we give ourselves afresh to you just now that you can take away our sin and exchange it for your righteousness. Give us your righteousness in our daily lives, in our experience. Take us now and use us and make us into your people. That is our prayer for now. And we pray that Jesus will dwell in us and do his work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you once again, Father, for the gift that you have given to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, in your forgiveness for our sin, in your righteousness that you have given in exchange for our sin. These things we ask in Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless everyone, and have a good rest of the evening and a good rest of the week.